is a recording of the voice of Mrs. Herman Panzram, better known as Pansy. You start.
My given name was Pansy Jenkins, and I was married October 4th. What was that date?
1905.
Yeah, that's right, 1905 to Herman Panzram. And we came to Waseca that same day and lived on Hill Street at that time. It's now, I think it's 4th Avenue, isn't it? Southwest. Southeast. That's what it is. We lived there 6 years. Then we came out here and bought this home out here, built the home.
Tell about living in the Floral Hall, Mom.
Oh, yes. We lived in Floral Hall. We came out here in April of 1911. And lived in Floral Hall that summer. It was very hot, about 100 most of the time. Mm-hmm. And it really was a hot summer. And the flies, there were millions. I cooked them in the potatoes and baked them in the bread. And in the fall of the last of September, we moved into this home, and we have lived here ever since.
What year was that, Mrs. Panzer?
1911.
Mm-hmm.
September the 28th. We had to get out of Floral Hall because the fair was moving in, and we had to leave.
Floral Hall. Mm-hmm. Your age at the present time?
89.
89 years old. And you had how many children?
Six.
Six, and I'm sure you're proud of all of them, huh?
Most of the time.
One of them was a fairly good softball player. I can't remember his name. Would you tell us a little bit about your early days? I understand you lived in a log cabin.
Mm-hmm. I was born in a log cabin, and we lived there, I think about 7 years. And then my father built a little house next to it for his parents to live in. And when they left, then we moved into that home where I lived until I was married.
What state was that?
Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Over near Smith Mill.
Near Smith Mill.
Oh, I see. And your husband was, his profession was?
Teaching. To begin with, and then he was county superintendent for 6 years. He taught school in the country.
How about your grandmother and grandfather, Barber, Mom?
Well,
they were the first settlers in Wilton.
No, Jenkins.
No.
Those were Jenkins.
It was my father that was, and his parents were some of the first settlers in Wilton. They never got any notice anywhere about that, but they were some of the first settlers there.
Well, I understand it. Is this where Asa Sutloff?
Yes, uh-huh.
And they came. Her parents preceded?
No, they didn't, but they came very shortly after.
I see.
Yeah.
And they were amongst the first.
And this mm-hmm. John Jenkins that is spoken of so often in child's history, it was her Uncle John.
Oh, I see.
Grandpa David and John were brothers, and they were Welsh.
Yes. You remember Mrs. Panzram when the courthouse was in Wilton? Can you remember that? Or
no.
You don't remember?
I don't remember that. What year was that?
I don't know. I thought perhaps you remembered it.
No, I don't. It seems to me that the courthouse that I know was the one that we have now.
I see.
I came here in 1905.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm sure they transferred it.
Mother, once when you were visiting with Mr. Slocum, you were telling about how the Indians would come to Grandma and Grandpa Jenkins' house there at Wilton. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. My grandmother told me that sometimes, see, they lived right on the bank of the Le Sueur River just across the bridge in Wilton. There was a little hill there, if you remember that.
It's still there.
Yeah. Well, that's where they lived.
Well.
And my grandmother said that sometimes the window in the cabin would darken and there'd be Indians looking in. It's kind of frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that they would come in and squat down on the floor, and if she gave them a piece of bread or whatever she had that she could give, they would eat and leave. And they never were mean or anything. They just came and went.
They were hungry, in other words.
You know, they were hungry.
Do you remember that you said that your recipe for long life was hard work? And then you were telling about some of the things that you did when you were growing up there on the farm.
Oh, yeah.
This is Vi Panzram now, quizzing her mother, so we'll get the answer here on longevity.
Well, I did work. My father believed in work, I think. He wasn't mean about it, but he believed in work, and he worked hard, too. And I had chores to do in the morning before I went to school, and I walked a mile and a half to school. And I had to get up and do my morning chores and eat my breakfast and get to school on time, because being on time was one of the things that he demanded. And after I got older, I worked in the fields, took the place of a hired man, and I didn't mind doing it. I liked working outside, drove binder, cut hay, raked it. In the fall, I helped with the corn, husk corn. Ma and I had to help with the potato digging. She always helped pick up potatoes when we dug potatoes.
Did you make all of your own clothes during those years?
Or? No, I didn't. Mother made my school clothes, and most of my clothes until I was older. Then I had some things that were bought at the store, but I didn't do any sewing. I mostly worked outside.
Well, you didn't have time with all that field work. Do you have any more questions?
Mother told me one time about a dressmaker that came out from Mankato and spent time sewing. My grandmother was a very stylish lady. She wore clothes very well. And can you remember what her name was?
Her first name was Lena, but I've forgotten her last name. I don't know what her last name was.
Do you know what she charged?
I haven't any idea, no.
But she came out and lived.
That was the thing that some people could do if they wanted to, was to have someone come to the house and make clothes for them. And this one always came out from Mankato and made mother's dresses first name was Lena, but I really don't know. I can't remember the other name now.
Mother, your log cabin was bigger than an ordinary log cabin. You've described that to us. Would you describe it?
I'm quite sure, I know it was bigger than these log cabins that I have seen since, because it had two bedrooms, one on each side of the house at one end, and then there was a little hallway between these two bedrooms, and then there was a large stairs going upstairs, and that was at the other end of the cabin. And then the whole upstairs was one big room. When my father bought the land, it was all woods. He told me when he built the cabin that he had to cut down the trees to make a spot big enough to build a cabin.
Do you recall what he told you he paid for the land in those days? Or?
I don't know. I don't know whether he ever told me or not, but I had the mortgage papers, but I don't have them anymore. I don't know where they are.
Did you sleep in? Is it true in your bedrooms during those times that sometimes you'd awaken in the morning and it was real cold without heat and snow would be on top of the covers, or what?
No, I never had anything like that. Our cabin was real. Well, I thought it was warm. I don't know. Maybe I didn't realize how cold it was, but no snow ever came in our cabin. There were two windows and a door on the south side, and another door on the north side, and then a large lean-to. The entire length of the cabin on the north side. And my father sold cardwood. He had men working for him, and these men boarded with my folks and cut cardwood, and that's the way he cleared the land.
Do you recall what he had to pay in the way of labor at that time?
Gee, I never asked Joe.
Well,
my dad never gave out much information like that. I suppose he would if I had asked for it, but I never did. The cupboard in our basement that my mother used on our farm at home to put this milk in, it was after you milked, you strained the milk through, they used a cloth at that time. They didn't have wire strainers that I remember. And the pans were low and round and about that big around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you filled those about two-thirds full, and there were shelves, wooden shelves, in this cupboard. You set these pans on there and let them stand. I don't know how long Mother let them stand, but till the cream raised. And then you skim that with it was a skimmer that was about that big around and had holes in it so the milk could run through.
Sort of a strain, about 6 inches.
We had a churn, and you probably have one like that in the historical somewhere. But
the kind that you had a dasher that went straight up and down, that kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do that.
Mm-hmm. That's the way we. I don't know how they made butter before I had to help with it, but as far back as I can remember, that's the way we made our butter. And Mother sold her butter for 10 cents a pound.
Approximately how long did it take you to churn with that method?
Oh, don't ask.
You have no idea.
Sometimes it took a long time.
I see.
And sometimes it came very quickly, I think, depending on the temperature of the cream.
Consistency of it, well, good.
You told me one time about how Grandma had gone to help take care of Uncle Leonard and how she had helped get him ready for burial.
He had a kind of a stroke. My mother used to go and help the neighbors at home when they were ill. She assisted at births and deaths, and some when they had the flu and things like that. She went around and helped. And one time she got the flu from taking care of somebody, and the doctor gave her up and said that there was nothing more that he could do. And my father asked him if he could give her some of the medicine that he gave the horses when they had when they got pneumonia and were sick. And the doctor told him that it couldn't possibly hurt her, and if he wanted to do that, he should. And so he gave her a teaspoon of medicine that he gave the horses, and Mother got better. I can remember that night so well that one of the neighbor women was in, and I wasn't very old, I don't think, because she picked me up in her arms, this neighbor woman, and she said, "Poor little girl." But after Dad gave Mother that medicine, and it didn't appear to hurt her any, he continued to give her some at intervals, and she got well. Bathed them and dressed them, and they had to... what they did was to lay money on their eyes to keep their eyes closed, mm-hmm. or something like that.
One of the questioning being done here, as I told you previously, was by the daughter, Violet Panzram, and the other daughter, Mrs. Herb Neitzel. So if you wonder who those foreign voices are, you'll know. Mrs. Panzram, would you name your children?
Yes, Elizabeth, Lloyd, Violet, I suppose, mm-hmm. Mary, Kay, Carol, and George. Mm-hmm.